2 Timothy chapter number 2. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. This morning I'd like to preach to you on the subject, A Soldier for Christ. Let's pray and ask God's blessings upon the message. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the privilege it is to stand and to preach your word. And I pray this morning that you would enable me, that you would help me. Lord, I need your help. And Father, I ask that you would help me to say only the things that would be pleasing unto thee. Lord, that you would withhold from my mouth anything that I should not say. And Father, today, would the Holy Spirit of God move throughout our midst and speak to the hearts of thy people. May we respond accordingly to how you deal with us in this service. We'll thank you for all that you'll do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to this passage of Scripture in 2 Timothy, and we find the Apostle Paul is now an older man. He is a seasoned Christian. He's been serving the Lord for some time now. And he writes to Timothy from Rome. And Paul, at this point, is a prisoner in Rome, and he knows that his time remaining is shortened. He doesn't know exactly how long he has, but he knows he's made it to Rome. He's now thrown in prison. And as he writes this letter to Timothy, he doesn't have very much time remaining. So this older and wiser spiritual father to his son in the faith, Timothy, writes this book about the things that are most important to Paul that Timothy should know. And Paul had faithfully served the Lord through all that life had thrown at him. We know the Apostle Paul was one of the greatest men of God that had ever walked upon the face of this earth. And now, toward the end of his life, with so much wisdom and so much knowledge about serving the Lord, he writes to his son in the faith, Timothy, and leaves with him these final instructions of what are most important to Paul that Timothy should know. His desire now was to leave these final words to Timothy. And this morning we will see what it is that Paul desired to show Timothy most of all. And what I believe this morning the Lord Jesus Christ desires to show us. To be a good soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look back again with me at verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul writes to Timothy and is encouraging him to be strong in the Lord, to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, one thing about being strong in the Lord is it is impossible to do so if you do not know the Lord. And so if Timothy is to be strong in the Lord, he has to know the Lord as his Savior, and I believe he does. And because Timothy has accepted Christ, Paul, writing, unto Timothy, is encouraging him to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. But then in verse 2, he says this, And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I want you to see, number one, Paul's greatest desire for Timothy is that he would faithfully teach and preach God's word around the world. Paul's desire for Timothy was to faithfully teach and to preach God's word. Now, Paul is not asking Timothy to do anything that Paul himself had not done. We know that Paul, throughout his lifetime, it was his life's goal, his life's mission to get the word of God around the entire world. But Paul's mission, very specifically, was the gospel. Paul's desire was to get the truth, the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. His message was the good news of Jesus Christ. How that we are all sinners and deserve to be punished. The Bible says that there is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this was Paul's message everywhere he went. He would go to the synagogues and he would preach Jesus Christ. And his life's goal, his mission, was that all the world may know that the Lord Jesus Christ had come. The Messiah to whom they had been looking for had come. And so his message was very simple. His message was the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the truth that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not a single person in the room this morning that is perfect. We have all sinned and broken God's commandments and broken God's law. I believe this morning that there is not a single person that could raise their hand and say, "Brother Josh, you're wrong. I've never told a lie in my life." We all have. And because of that, we are all guilty. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. The truth is, and Paul's message was, we are all sinners. We've all broken God's law. And because of that, we deserve to be punished. The Bible said that the wages of sin is death. That is to be eternally separated from God the Father, from any love. The Bible says God is love, and if we reject Christ and we never receive Him as our Savior, there is a punishment that awaits. It is to suffer for all of eternity in a place called hell. The Bible says about this place that the fire is not quenched. It is a place of everlasting torments. It is a place of darkness. Can you imagine for all of eternity being able to see absolutely nothing but feeling all the pain and all the agony of the flame that is never quenched? It is a very real place this morning, and that awaits all those who die in their sins having never trusted Christ as their Savior. That is the punishment that because you have sinned and because I have sinned, we deserve. But Paul's message, the message that Paul was so dedicated and so sincere to get around the world, the message that he wanted Timothy to understand with his dying words, "Timothy, preach the gospel, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, commit to faithful men." What was his message? You deserve punishment because you have sinned. But praise God, Jesus Christ, God's Son, died for our sins. The good news of Jesus Christ is that the Son of God, Jesus Himself, came to earth and He lived a perfect life. Every moment He was on this earth, He was completely perfect. He was the Son of God. And not one time did He ever break a commandment of God. Not one time did He ever lie. Not one time did He ever commit a sin. He was perfect. And as He was on this earth, He came with one goal: to go to the cross and to bleed and die for our sins. The Bible says that He died for our sins. Do you understand this morning that God's Son took your place? That night when He went to Golgotha and He was hung on a cross, the Bible says that He was beaten and bruised, that His side was pierced, that His hands and feet were driven through with nails as He was hoisted upon a cross. And He bled and He died and He suffered. But the truth this morning, He had done no wrong. He did not deserve to be punished. He had not earned the punishment. The punishment that our Savior endured was ours. It was our sins that nailed Him to the cross. And there's good news this morning that though we deserve to be punished, though we deserve to be separated from God, Jesus Christ took our place. He paid the sin debt in full. And He was buried, but the Bible says that He rose again on the third day, victorious over death and victorious over sin. This was Paul's message. Everywhere he went, his life's goal was to tell the world Jesus Christ came to save. And so as we see here, Paul fought for the gospel. He said unto Timothy, "The things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Above all else, Timothy, preach the gospel." Paul's message was the gospel, but also Paul understood the power of his message. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." If you read your Bible and you study the life of Paul, you'll find that he boldly, unashamedly preached the gospel. He gave it everywhere he went, knowing the life-changing power that it carried. Friend, this morning, there is power in the gospel. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed because it's the power of God unto salvation." You understand this morning that what nothing else in this life can do, the power of the gospel can. It has the power to change one's position in Christ. The power of the gospel is that it can take a man who has lived for himself, who has broken God's laws, who is on his way straight to hell. And there is no amount of money that can purchase this man's salvation. Money cannot earn salvation. What no amount of good deeds can do can earn salvation. Friend, listen, our good deeds will never outweigh our bad. There is no amount of good deeds and good works that I can strive toward that will earn me a place in heaven. One sin, if I live my entire life and I commit only one sin, that one sin is enough to condemn me to hell for all of eternity. And there is no amount of good works that I can do that will outweigh, that will make up for my sin and allow me a place in heaven. And so Paul recognized the power of the message, because the gospel can take that man, and what no money can do and what no good work can do, the good news that Jesus saves, if that man will repent of his sins, ask Jesus Christ to forgive him, to come into his life and save him, his position in Christ will be completely changed. No longer a sinner bound for hell, but a new man in Christ on his way to heaven, enjoying a relationship with God the Father. You know, the Bible says that even the best that we have to offer, the best works that you and I can do in God's sight, are but filthy rags. You know, there are those that teach, if you do enough good and your good outweighs your bad, you'll be okay. But the Bible teaches us that the best we have are as filthy rags. Friend, tonight, or this morning rather, if you go to heaven, it's going to be because you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Not in any work, not in any money, not in any influence, but salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. And that is why Paul dedicated his life to this one message, this one mission, to get the gospel around the world. And his message here to Timothy in verse 2 is above all else to get the word of God around the world, but his message specifically, preach the gospel. Paul, you can see now, this great man of God, this great man of God who is now in jail and at the end of his life, and after a lifetime of serving Christ, he writes a message to Timothy, a young man whom he has had a burden for, a young man who is his son in the faith. And above all else, the first thing he says is to Timothy, preach the gospel. And I believe this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ's words to us as a local church are to go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You realize this morning it is the responsibility of the local church to evangelize the world. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, to those of us who have received him as Savior, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, go ye. That is very personal. And Jesus Christ is saying to you and I to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Paul fought for this goal. He fought for the gospel. And I think about this Veterans Day weekend. We remember the men and women, the brave souls who gave their lives so that we could enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy. And can I tell you this morning, the title of the message is A Good Soldier for Christ. If you're here this morning and you've received Christ as your Savior, you are to be a soldier for Him. You see, the work of God is not limited just to pastors and evangelists and missionaries, but if you've received the grace of God in your life, you're on your way to heaven because you've placed your faith in Him. He saved you by His grace. Listen, you are to be involved in the work of God. The Great Commission is to every believer, not just to the pastor that stands up and preaches, not just to the missionary, but there is a work for all of us to do. And as we look and we think about soldiers this weekend, understand, a good soldier knows what his captain's orders are, and he dedicates himself to fulfilling that mission. Paul, he knew exactly what his captain's orders were. The heartbeat of God is to get the gospel around the world. Paul made it his mission. And he says to his young son in the faith, above all else, commit these things to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And then we see in verse number 3, Paul says unto Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You realize this morning, as a Christian, we're not guaranteed an easy road. We're not guaranteed that everything is going to go our way. In fact, in this same book, in chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul said, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And I believe right here, as Paul says unto Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He looks to this young believer and Paul says unto Timothy, it's not going to be easy. Living a victorious Christian life, taking a stand for God is not the easy path. You are literally going to be going against the tide. It's not easy to stand up and live for Christ. There will be hard times that you will endure. There will be difficulties that you will face. If you take a stand for Christ, there will be a big target on your back by the devil himself, because Satan hates the work of God. And if you're going to do what you ought to do, and you're going to be a good soldier for Christ, and you're going to take a stand and be involved in the work of God, you're going to have opposition. There are going to be difficulties that you face. And Paul, knowing this, having been through many difficulties himself, says unto Timothy, it won't be easy, but soldiers endure. Why on earth, and you think about this, when men and women commit to go into the military, why on earth do soldiers subject themselves to the difficulties that they face on a regular basis? Now, I've never gone into the military. I have not served our country, but I've read about men and women who have, and I've heard stories about the things that they go through just in training. You imagine boot camp and the many things that they endure, and then those that go to war. I'm talking about those who serve our country. They endure hard times. They subject themselves to some great difficulties. Why would they do that? Why on earth would any soldier go through the things that is necessary for a soldier? They do so to please their authority. The soldier knows who his authority is, and he seeks to please the one who is giving him the commands. You understand, a soldier's job is to obey the orders, and his desire is to please those who are in authority above him. But why else does a soldier subject himself to all these things? He does it to take a stand for what they believe. I believe that this nation was founded on godly principles. There was a time in our country when men and women took a stand and they stood up for what they believed. Our country was founded upon Christian principles. It was founded upon the Word of God because there were men and women who stood up and took a stand and said, I'm going to fight for what I believe in. I believe God and I believe God's Word, and I want a country where we can worship Christ freely. And men and women stood up and took a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. They fought for what they believed in. A soldier will subject himself to the difficulties of life. He will endure through hard times and difficult circumstances to take a stand for what he believes. But I believe also a soldier takes a stand and endures hardness to protect the ones that he loves. Maybe one of the number one answers that you'll receive when you ask somebody why they were willing to go to war, why did you stand up and decide to go into the military? They'll tell you, to protect my loved ones, to protect those in our country, to protect my family members, to preserve a future for my children. And soldiers will endure great difficulties and great circumstances to please their authority, to take a stand for what they believe, but also to protect others. And I believe this morning, look at me please, as a Christian, as a child of God, one who is a sinner saved by grace. When you were saved, you were enlisted in the army of God. You became a child of God, and as such, we should be involved in the work of God. And as a Christian, our number one goal is to please our authority, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that we do in this life should be to please God, so that one day when we stand face to face with our Maker, He can look on us and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We want to please our authority. And if we're going to do that, there's going to have to be some Christians that endure some hardness. Take a stand and endure hardness. Paul said in Ephesians, having done all to stand, stand. I believe as Christians this morning, all across America, we've become weak. Fewer and fewer Christians are taking a stand for Christ. They don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to take a stand because of what it may mean for us. It may mean that we endure some hardness. We don't want to go door knocking because we may get our feelings hurt or a door shut in our face. But we need Christians this morning that'll stand up as a good soldier and endure the hardness and say, I don't care what it costs. I don't care what I have to endure. I'm going to please my authority. I want to please my captain, the Lord Jesus Christ. As a Christian, we should endure hardness because somebody is always watching. Somebody is always watching your life. And how you respond when you're challenged, how you respond when the going gets tough, is going to make a difference. Enduring hardness, understand this morning, as a Christian, when you endure hardness, you know what that does? While doing that, you're protecting your loved ones. As a Christian, when you stand for God, no matter what happens, no matter what difficulties are coming your way, if you will stand and endure the hardness, you're actually protecting your loved ones because they're watching. Your faith and your steadfastness means something. There may be a friend or a family member. Maybe there's somebody that you don't even know and they're watching your life. And they know you're in church and they know you're a Christian. And they're watching when the difficulties come, how you react, how you respond. And the way that you react means something. If you'll take a stand and be steadfast, unmovable, that can encourage somebody else who's struggling. Your faith and your endurance can be the reason that somebody trusts Christ because they see from your life there's evidence that it's real. It means something. There's someone always watching your life, therefore endure. Because if you quit on God when things get hard, what kind of a message have you sent your family? What kind of a message have you sent your friends and the countless others who are watching without even your knowledge? If we quit on God when things get hard, we don't endure through the hard times in life. What message have we given a lost and dying world about our faith and our God? Friend, this morning, Paul himself fought for the gospel, but Paul also endured hardness. He fought for others. Are you so grounded in your faith this morning that through any adversity, you'll stand? If you were here last Sunday night, we preached from Job, and what a great example we have of a man of God who through any difficult circumstance and through all the hardships, you remember Job in just the first chapter of Job, in just a matter of moments, his entire world came crashing down and he lost everything that he had. And the Bible said about Job that in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job endured hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And it meant something because today, thousands of years later, it is preserved in the Word of God and has been an encouragement to thousands of Christians throughout the world. It means something. Are you so grounded in your faith and loyalty to Christ as a good soldier that you can endure through the difficult times of life? When Satan goes on the attack, will you still stand for Christ? Here we see Paul writing to Timothy, and we know that Paul endured hardness, and the reason that he endured hardness was for the sake of others. Though he was imprisoned, Paul endured. Though he was shipwrecked, Paul endured. Though he was beaten on multiple occasions for simply claiming the name of Christ, he endured. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. Though he had a physical limitation, the thorn in the flesh, he endured. And through many things, perils of the seas, perils of all kinds, the Apostle Paul was a faithful soldier for Christ, and he endured in the most difficult circumstances because he was fighting for others. You see, Paul could do this. Paul could take a stand because there was still more to be reached. He didn't quit when the going got tough because there were others that needed to be reached. There were others that needed to hear the gospel. There was more work that needed to be done for his captain, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And can I tell you this morning, as long as you're living, as long as you're breathing, there is more to be done for Christ. We never reach a time when we can retire on God. We never reach an age when we can give up on Christ. If you're alive, God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. And we need to endure because others depend upon it. A soldier does not back down from adversity, but he meets it head on. Paul's instructions to Timothy, endure because your captain expects it. Jesus Christ expects your faith and your loyalty, but he also says to endure because there's a lost and dying world that depends upon it. This world depends upon your steadfastness and your influence for others. Number one, Paul fought for the gospel. Number two, Paul fought for others. And then lastly, this morning, Paul fought for himself. Look at verse number four, this final instruction to Timothy. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Understand this morning that you're going to face many battles in your lifetime, but the greatest battle that you and I will ever face is the battle with ourselves. That is the number one battle that we will face in our lifetime. And Paul, though he was one of the greatest men of God to ever walk on the earth, he battled with his flesh on a daily basis. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 18 about this battle. He says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." Listen to verse 24. "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Paul gives us a glimpse into the spiritual warfare that went on in his life on a daily basis. How that his spirit would war against his flesh. The flesh desiring to fulfill the lust thereof, to do what he desires. But then the desire of his spirit to please the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a battle that rages inside of you and I every single day. To walk in the flesh and fulfill our own desires. Or to put our flesh to death. And walk in the spirit and please the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the Apostle Paul, a great man of God, was not exempt from this battle, friend, we certainly are not. We face this battle on a regular basis. But Paul learned something in his life. He learned that there is victory through Christ, through daily yielding yourself unto Him. In Romans 12 and verse 1, Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Paul understood daily yielding to Christ can offer victory over our flesh. He said, "I beseech you, brethren, present your body a living sacrifice unto God." And if you and I, daily in our lives, not just one time, one decision we made way back at a teen camp, not one decision we made way back in a revival, but every day, every morning we get out of bed, we offer our bodies a living sacrifice unto God and ask God to help us. We yield ourselves and our desires and our wishes unto Christ. and allow His desires to take root in our life, we can have victory in our lives over our flesh. And Paul realized that. And now, as we see in 2 Timothy, Paul says unto him, unto his young son in the faith, stay focused. In verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. He says unto Timothy, stay focused. Do not allow yourself to come distracted. You know, Satan has done a great job in filling our world with so many distractions. You think today, you can look at your cell phone, you can get on the internet, you can turn on the TV and see 1,000 more distractions than there were 100 years ago. And though they may not all be bad in and of themselves, Satan has got a great plan to occupy all the time that we have rather than giving our time to God. And Paul says unto Timothy, don't become entangled with the cares of this life. Stay focused on the goal, Timothy. Stay focused as a good soldier on what Christ has called you to do. He says unto Timothy, do not slack on the spiritual battles that you face. You know, it's one thing to start something, but it's another thing to finish it. And Paul, through all these years, had been faithful to Christ. He was finishing what he started. And he says unto Timothy, don't let loose. Don't slack. There is a battle that is raging, a spiritual battle to be fought. And understand me this morning, one unguarded moment in our lives can mean a ruined testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many ministers today that have disqualified themselves from standing and preaching the Word of God. They have disqualified themselves from serving God in certain areas because of one unguarded moment in our lives. Listen to me, friends. There is never a reason that we should let up on our spiritual battle. We have to be on guard at all times. When you see a soldier in battle, he's always aware of what's going on. His head is in the game because he knows at the time that he slacks, it could mean his life or the life of the man beside him. Friend, as a Christian, when we go a single day without sacrificing our bodies to Christ, we go a single day without yielding ourselves to Him and we walk in the flesh, it could mean spiritual death for us, and it could mean something costly for our brother or our sister in Christ. It could mean a particular day that you decide not to live for the Lord. You run across somebody that Christ put in your path who needs the gospel. And you may be the last person that has the opportunity to witness to them. And now you're accountable for their eternal destination because you did not do what Christ had called you to do. Paul said unto Timothy, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Stay focused, Timothy. Do not allow yourself to become distracted. Don't slack on the spiritual battles, but rather keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on the captain. Colossians 3 and verse 2, Paul said, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Set your affection on Christ. We as Christians, when we're in a battle, we cannot stand in the middle of two opposing forces. We can't stand in the middle of no man's land and expect to thrive. So many times we as God's people, we seek to serve the Lord and we try to live a victorious Christian life, but we seek to do so while keeping one foot in the world. And we cannot do that and thrive. We cannot do that and have victory with the Lord. If you try to live for Christ, but you've got a hand grip upon this world and all that it has to offer, you're trying to walk in your spirit, but at the same time, you're walking in your flesh. When you do that, you are entangling yourself in the cares of this life. And when you do that, you lose your effectiveness for Christ. Paul said, don't become entangled with the cares of this life. Don't seek to serve the Lord and keep a foot in the world. John said in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life is not of the Father, but is of the world. May God help us this morning to be a good soldier for Christ. Paul fought for the gospel. He fought for others. He endured hardness because there was more to be reached, more to be done. And then Paul fought the battle of himself. And he warred with himself on a regular basis. And now in Rome, imprisoned, we find Paul was on the winning side. Paul was sold out for Christ. He was the example of a good soldier for Jesus Christ who remained faithful to the very end. In the same book, he says unto Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul endured to the very end as a good soldier of Christ. And now Paul looks to Timothy. And now this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ looks to us and says, to be a good soldier, you must preach the gospel. You must be busy telling other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not only our pastor's responsibility, it's our responsibility. To be a good soldier for Christ, you must endure and stand through the difficult times because others depend upon it and because your captain, the Lord Jesus Christ, expects it. And if you're to be a good soldier, you need to live your life to please the one who has called you to be a soldier. You say, Brother Josh, I didn't sign up to be a soldier. But if Jesus Christ shed his blood for you, and you accepted him as your Savior, and you're enjoying the blessings of salvation, you know 100% you're on your way to heaven because of the grace of God. Listen, friend, you have been called to be a soldier. Paul said, yield your bodies unto Christ, which is your reasonable service. It only makes sense that we would stand up and fight for our Lord. If you're to be a soldier, preach the gospel, endure hardness. And as he said in verse 4, live for Christ, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Let's bow for a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, you saw the hands that were raised this morning, and I pray that your perfect will be done in this invitation. May thy people respond to thee as you have dealt with them in their hearts. Lord, I pray this morning, if there's one who still does not know thee as their Savior, you would help them today. Give them the boldness and the courage to come forward and speak to somebody that they may know thee as their Savior. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.